Shadows.com Live, episode 110, and that was Toxic Holocaust, who just won Album of the Year. Congratulations to Toxic Holocaust. You can find them at tankcrimes.com. Let's give a shout-out to our sponsors. That'd be Brass Bound World, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Crimes, No Pain, Just Glory, Central Oregon Trike Combat Sports Insurance, Vision Smoke Shop, 24NLV, Draco Sports, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Revolver MMA, and Crossroader Clothing. Hey, Skippy, how's it going, brother?
Oh, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. It's freezing. I had to cut wood all day. I told you last year that I paid somebody to cut it, and I didn't this year, and I'm regretting it. But other than that, man, it's a good day. Lots of crazy stuff going on all over the world in MMA. We got a great, crazy show. We're going to kick off tonight an all MFC show.
Hey,
no,
give me 1 second. 1 second, LeVar. Let me just do this.
There we go.
Well, I'm a poor man. I feel no pain. I struggled half of my life for going against the grain, but I think it's the only difference.
Whoops. That was the old walkout.
Yeah, what the freaking frack.
Wasn't ready for you yet, man. I thought you were going to be another 10 minutes.
Well, I'm going to still be another 10 minutes. I didn't know you were going to pull me into the room. I just walked out this party. I was going to give you a heads up in the screening room, but since we're here,
oh, sorry.
I just let the whole world know that I'll be back here in a few minutes.
Okay.
But make sure that Skippy behaves.
You want me to do that?
Well, yeah, you know, I think it'd be a good idea. Somebody needs to keep him in line. He's getting a little wild at his age.
Yeah, you're funny, Labaki. I'll tell you what's wild is tonight's lineup, man. You want to talk about some of the most elite fighters in the world who fight for MFC, man, one of the greatest promotions out there you will ever get to fight for or watch. I'm super pumped about tonight's show. I know somebody you did a great interview with. You know, we're going to have Rama on, and then obviously the guys who are making serious waves at a title fight. So, I mean, you know, and then we're going to be joined by the one and only Mark himself. So I'm super pumped about tonight's show.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be good times for everybody here at the Madhouse Live situation. But let me drive to the crib, change my clothes real quick, and then I'll call you back. I might wait until the end of the Rama segment so I don't interrupt anything.
Oh, just join in, bro.
Well, you know, since you gave me such a nice, warm, loving introduction there, I guess we can try that out. But I do want to say, make sure you get over to Bend, Oregon and support Vision Smoke Shop, you little bastards. Get your asses over there.
Hey, I just went and saw them today. It's funny you say that.
I would expect nothing less from you. And Carl, why are we waiting for October for you to come down?
Helps when I turn on my mic. You know, that's just the way it works out for me. That's the soonest I can get there. You know, the dog sled only moves so fast.
I like it. I'm glad you've embraced the dog sled at this time of year.
Well, the dogs will be ready by then.
They'll be well rested.
well rested and ready to run.
All righty. Well, here, let me get to the house. I'll call you guys back as soon as I'm set up and ready to rumble with you.
I'll be watching for you.
All right. Later, Skippy.
Later, brother. Hey, Carl, why don't you bring our first guest in, since normally that'd be Lapaki's duty, and you're going to wing-wan it tonight with me. Got some old school, going to wing Madhouse Live.
I'm going to wing and wang it, am I? Introducing the one and only, I'm not nearly as good at this as Lapaki. Why are you doing this? We have with us tonight one of Canada's top heavyweights fighting for the MFC. Shmeliano Rama is live. Welcome to the show, man.
How you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
Welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with Carl and the Madman and me, Skippy. Our partner in crime, he usually co-hosts the show, who did the interview with you. He'll join us in a little bit. He had to go change his clothes or something. I don't know. He took off. But we're super excited to have you on tonight. Everything you read out there, you're definitely somebody everybody around the world is paying attention to, especially because you're dominating your weight class, and you've got a lot considered to be probably your toughest test to date coming up in Mike Hacker. How's your camp, and how are you feeling about this fight?
Camp is good, same as everything else. You know, everybody's helping me out the best that they can. And the fight, it's just another fight to me, right? This guy's doesn't worry me. He's a plain boxer. People think he's something special, but I'm gonna show my skills, my stand up skills with this guy. Show him what kind of boxer he really is.
Now, are you still training out of independent MMA, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, getting prepared for this fight, how much of an influence was your coach, Vlad, in this preparation of this camp, getting you mentally set to fight this guy?
The thing is with him, he's not just there for the camps. He's there with me through everything, right, every day. So even if I'm not training for a fight, he's there. And we know fights are going to come up, so we're always preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. But, you know, he's always there, and he's always keeping me prepared, and I'm always training and all that stuff, so... It's all good. It's all the same. Nothing's different. We're training hard. You know, we're focusing, doing our thing. And
so
it's good.
So this camp's been predominantly the same as all your previous fights. You haven't changed anything just because it's Mike, just because this is for a lot of us in the media feel a very, very serious fight for your career to put you into, you know, the elites up in there in the top 10, top 15, you know, guys in the world.
Yeah, well, you know, to me it's just another fight. Every fight is the same as it. My first fight is the same as this one. You know, if I didn't do good in my previous fights, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I'm just looking at it this way, that if I don't do good in this fight, I won't be where I want to be in a year. So no choice, just train hard and go out there and smash them.
So I've got to ask you, you know, how much of a fight fan are you? I know that you're preparing for this fight, but this is a pretty stacked card. Is there any fights on there that caught your attention?
Muka Amoromo fight, I can't wait to see that, man. It's going to be a good fight. Hopefully Muka can keep it standing, because I don't know the guys personally. I don't know Graham or Muka like that well, but from what I've seen, Graham should take it to the ground, and Muka just wants to stand up. But I just want to see Muka do his thing. And I'm excited for that Elvis Mutapchich fight. Can't wait to see that. I'm going to be in his corner again. And two great strikers, just wild men, go out there and fight like crazy. Not like me where I take guys down and finish them quick. Those guys put on a show. So I'm excited to see those guys fight. And the guy from my camp is going to be playing earlier on in the night, the first fight of the night, which I'll be cornering Elvis, another Elvis on that card. So I'm excited to see them, man.
Yeah, you mentioned the Elvis Sam fight. To me, that is, I think, a very interesting fight. I know a lot of people around the world are really going to tune in for that one as well. You know, one of our partners, Chris Gregory, he's a big Sam Alvey fan. We had an argument last week on the show about this, and because I picked Elvis, he picked Sam. So, and that's how it seems to be with the fans right now. They're right down the middle almost. So I think this is going to be one of those exciting fights. Could steal the show, you know, unless. Unless you do what you normally do, and that's, you know, pound.
I'm not going to put a show. I'm telling you, there's not going to be a show with me. It's just going to be another quick night like every other night.
Yeah, I like that attitude. Now, you know, with you putting, this will be your sixth fight. Do you think if you do like you have in the past and perform to your abilities that you should instantly be talked about for a title fight?
Well, that's what Mark's been saying, is that after this fight, the winner will get a title fight. So I'm just excited to see who I'm going to fight for the belt, and I'm excited to fight next month. I'm just really excited, man. I'm really happy. I just can't – been training hard. This has been my longest time without a fight in the past year, so I'm itching for it.
Well, and I'll tell you, a lot of great, great fighters have held MFC gold, and it would be great to see your name up there as well. I mean, you can go through the history books of the organization and see some of the greatest names, you know, in MMA, past and present, who have fought and held that strap. So for me, I think, you know, it's got to be one of the most honorable belts to own, you know, and to know you won. Because obviously Mark puts very tough competition in front of you, and you know I got to say, you know, I think Mike's truly going to be some of your toughest competition you've had to date, and I hope you get to bring the pain like you like. I really do. It's going to be an interesting fight for fans to see how it goes.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm not doubting that Mike's going to do good, and I'm hoping for the best Mike I can get. Right. I'm hoping that I hope he's training right now. I hope he's training hard and he's getting ready, because that's what I want. I don't want to go in there with some chump. And I know he's going to be training hard, and good for him, right? Like, this is what we both want to do. But, you know, these guys, they come in here and they talk about their jobs and what they do every day. And my job is to train and fight. These guys want to talk about their jobs. Go do your job. Don't worry about fighting. It's not for you, because if I go to what they're doing, I won't know what they're doing, right? I won't know how to do it. Now they want to talk about their jobs and come and talk to me about my job. My job is to fight, and if they're coming here telling me about that, they're gonna get hurt.
Now, I gotta ask you: did you by any chance have any opportunity to watch the Tim Hague fights that he went through recently, especially and more leaning towards the decision fight?
I've seen the fights, right? I've seen the fights. I didn't really pay much attention to them because that's not my job. I got my trainers for that, and I got coaching staff that takes care of that. So all I do, I just seen it for the hell of it, just for fun.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just to see a fight. But my coaches are the ones that watch it, and they're the ones that train me based on what he does. But I'm still going to do what I want to do, right? I'm not going there to fight anyone's fight. I'm going to go there to fight my own fight and see how the night turns out.
But they... You know, I got to ask, you know, because I was just curious. It'd almost be interesting to ask your coach what holes he saw in that game that got him, you know, to get Tim into the final rounds and to get to a decision card, you know. I know some people out there feel that it's going to be a decision fight. I like your mentality. You're going out there to finish the fight.
Well, I don't know. I don't really want to disrespect anybody, but, you know, this is the way I see it is. Hague went out and lost an 8-second knockout to Todd Duffy with a jab. And the way I see it is, if you can't finish Hague, I don't know how that's going to go for you, right? Don't get me wrong. Hague's a great guy, and I know him. And like I said, by all means, no disrespect to Hague. But I'm talking about a fighter. As a person, he's great. As a fighter, he's not that good, right? Everybody has their problems. If he couldn't go out there and finish Hague, right? Like, what do you think he's going to do to me? But I hope, like I said, I hope he's training. I hope he's prepared for this fight.
Well, you sound like you definitely are, and I think it's interesting that you didn't change anything. You went and did this same camp the same way you did Lee or Jordan.
We're always changing things, right? We're always changing things around. We're changing techniques the way I'm learning. But my fitness is good. You guys just came out there fat because I like to eat a lot of food. I like to eat whatever I can eat. Like, but my fitness is good. My cardio is good and all that stuff. And we're always adjusting, but we're always kind of keeping it the same. Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, obviously, you know, you're undefeated. You've had both submission and KO wins in your career. I mean, you're well-rounded. You're winning your fights consistently in impressive fashions, whether it be, you know, an RNC or a Kimura or a TKO, you know. I agree. You know, what's what's the change? You're killing everybody. I mean, you've had some great guys step in front of you, and you've cleaned them out pretty quick. I don't believe you've gone past the first round ever.
No.
Maybe as an amateur? Yes. Did you go as an amateur
by any chance? No, that's never happened. That's never, ever happened.
Okay.
I'll always be in the first round. I hope to never have to go to a decision, ever.
Now, you know, with you getting in there and dominating these guys so fast, what goes through your mind afterwards? Do you feel like, man,
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, with you finishing these guys so fast, do you ever feel like, man, I would love to have gone a couple more minutes with this guy. I was killing him.
No. You know, I want to get in there and just finish as fast as I can. Like, if they were paying me to go three rounds, I'd consider it maybe. But there, I'm beginning to take the same. Why would I want to go three rounds where I can finish it in the first few minutes, right?
That's true. And
that's a special ability, right? People want to be exciting fighters and want to finish fights and want to perform well. And some people just don't got it. Me, I go in there and I just do it without any effort. I just train hard, and I go in the fight and do my thing, and it always turns out the same. Dominating the guys, putting them out in the first round. So why would I want to do otherwise? I want to get those bonuses, right?
That's very true. That's what it's all about. Is obviously getting the win, but also getting that paycheck if you can get that bonus. You know, the fight of the night, sub of the night. You know, and then. Obviously, if you can get a KO of the night going into your title fight, people are going to have to consider you, you know, a favorite no matter who the opponent is, which I think is cool. You know, I think you definitely have a better round, well-rounded game, and I think no matter who they put in front of you, even if they did bring somebody from outside of their organization, like sign some new heavyweights or something, there's not a lot of guys available right now that I feel could really compete with you. So I'm looking forward to seeing you do your decimation like you always do. I'll be honest, I hope that, you know, you get a quick KO, but I would like to see you pull off another Kimura or something like that. That was beautiful last time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Yeah, we'll see what happens, right? I'm not a picky guy. Wherever the fight goes, and whatever I get, whatever opportunity I'll get, I'll take it. If I get a choke, right? If I get to hit stand with a guy, right? I'll do that. It doesn't bother me because I train for every aspect. I don't know why these guys come out and say, "Oh, I'm gonna box him," or "I'm gonna kick him," or "I'm gonna take him down." Why do you want to do that? It's an MMA fight. That just shows your lack of training. If you're saying you want to do one or the other, you should train so well that you're confident in every aspect. And that's the way I feel about myself and my team and my camp.
Now, you've been training in martial arts for quite a few years. How much of that comes from the beginning when you first got into it, that mentality, versus maybe being more of an MMA fighter is when you picked up that mentality?
Well, I started training at an MMA gym here in Calgary. So I didn't learn any sort of specific sport like boxing or wrestling. I started in MMA right away. And the coach we had was a badass, right? So he would always push us to finish. Our conditioning was top level. We were always in shape. We were always ready to fight. We were basically that gym that had the last-minute replacements because we were always good to fight and we were tough guys. So I was an MMA fighter from the start. You can't call me a boxer or anything. Maybe I can box better than I can grapple, or grapple better than I can wrestle. But at the end of the day, I'm an MMA fighter. I'm not a wrestler or anything.
I like that. You know, it's funny. We talk a lot about, you know, the Western-style wrestlers from America who are, you know, starting to really make a presence in the sport, and how I feel personally, I mean, and anybody can disagree with me, they always do anyway, but that wrestling is a points-style system that they grew up in. It's not a finishing. It's not you kill, like K-1 or, you know, judo or any of these things where, you know, to score wins is to tap people out, is to, you know, tap, knock them out, you know. So when somebody like yourself who's raised as a fighter with that kill, finish mentality, I think is more exciting for the sport than some of the guys who are coming in who are points fighters and look to maybe not finish a fight but just control it enough to win it. And, you know, do you feel the same? Do you see that, you know, more?
Well, for wrestling, not necessarily, because I wrestled, right? I wrestled in high school. I didn't know how to wrestle. I'd never done wrestling in my life other than what MMA training I had. And I went into high school wrestling not knowing a thing, and I ended up winning cities, provincials, and nationals, and won every match and pinned everybody. So, you know, you can't – I wouldn't say that wrestling is more of a point game, because I won every fight by pin, so I finished every match. But in MMA, I don't know. That I like the pride rules, if you know what I'm talking about, where they have the card system.
I do.
And I don't know. I think they should bring that back, because you see a lot of guys in the sport that are just taking people down and holding them on their back, and it's not a fight. People pay to see a fight. You want to entertain. This isn't the business of fighting, people. People think it's just fighting. This is entertainment. You want to sell. You want to make money. The more money you make from the promoter, the better show you put on, the more money you'll make from the promoter, the more money you'll get paid. So it's all about putting on a show. That's why I think the card system should come back. And, you know, one example I'm going to use is the Josh Koscheck and Paul Daly fight. Like, I understand why Paul Daly got mad and got up and punched Josh, because if somebody did that to me for a whole fight, I'd be pretty mad myself. I don't know if I would take it to that extent, but I'd be really, really upset.
No, I feel you. You know, we've had fighters on the different networks that Madhouse owns, and we've heard different sides of the fence all the way around, and I lean more towards your side. I'm a big fan of the Pride-style judging and the Pride-style card system. I think a fight should be judged in its entirety and not round by round, and I also feel that, you know, there's nothing wrong with pulling out these cards. I think if you penalize fighters in their purse for lack of, you know, at work, let's be honest, work, you know, in the ring or the cage, then maybe, you know, guys would be more apt to try to go for that submission or try to get that double leg and go for the ground and pound instead of just holding them there for the last 20 seconds of the round.
Well, why do you think Mark signs the guys that he does for his promotion, right? He wants to put on exciting fights. He's not just signing a bunch of American wrestlers from the States. You don't see that.
No, I've said it before when Mark's been on the show. We've talked about it on many of these shows. One of the things about his shows that I've said consistently is from top to bottom, there are always good fights. These guys come to finish, and I love that about his cards. You don't see
especially the last three cards. The last three cards were just incredible. They were just amazing.
Oh, definitely.
They were awesome to watch. The crowd loved it. So I'm happy to be a part of that.
Well, before we run out of time, because we're going to have some more guests from the card that you're on, you want to give any shout-outs, any sponsors, any social media for fans around the world to find you?
Definitely. I just want to give a shout-out to my gym, Independent MMA, my coaches and my managers and all them. I love all you guys. Thanks to them, I'm doing so well. And my sponsors, Smash MMA, Optimum Wellness Center, Victory Mouth Guards, Hype Fight Store, Hayabusa, and Calgary Tattoo Company. Love all you guys. Thanks for all the support. Thanks, MMA Madhouse. You know, thanks a lot for having me on.
We're big fans of you and also of the MFC as well, but we're big fans of you. You know, we think that you're somebody in the future that a lot of heavyweights out there are going to have to face if they want to get a strap. So, you know, I wish you the best of luck, and I thank you for taking the time, you know, to come on here and talk with us.
Thanks a lot, brother. You guys have a good night. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, anytime, brother, anytime.
All right, you guys have a good night.
You too. Pardon everybody, me? You guys can see him fight on Access TV February 15th. I believe it's 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. They're going to be live throwing it down at the Shaw Conference Center in Edmonton, Alberta, folks. Access TV. Everybody's got Access TV. Go on there, support the MSC, support the fighters, watch this great event. Hey, if everything goes good, I believe you'll even see a Clinch Custom Mouthguard logo flying around there. So big shout out to them.
Hey, follow Shmeal on Twitter, at Shmeal Rama, Shmeal Rama.
Well, it's Dude, I tell you what, we're a few minutes away from our next guest. You know, this is a really good card. You know, he touched on some of the fights, and we're going to touch on some more of them coming up. But the Mukai Moromo Graham Spencer fight, you know, who we'll be talking to both of those gentlemen tonight, and it's the lightweight title fight. But that Sam Alvey fight, Elvis, man, I tell you what, that's going to be interesting. And I don't know if anybody else caught this, but there are three middleweight fights on this card, okay? One being a title, obviously, and the other two, I think, is kind of stirred the pot up, I believe, is to throw a few, you know, more names into the mix, because he's got a pretty solid division there. And bringing Jay Silva in now is really interesting, because he's got a lot of experience, you know, the Spider. Also,
yeah, you saw his fight got changed on him today.
Yes, I did. It got changed to Leo, right?
I would have to check. I'm not not quite there.
Yeah, the Bushido.
I was wondering if you saw the press
release. Yeah, I saw that, and it's interesting because he's on a 2 or 3 fight win streak, or he's 2 for 3 in his last couple fights. And he's been making some waves. He's got a great record at 7-2-1, you know. So I think it's a good test for him and Jay, especially for Jay making his debut on MFC. I think it's important that you put somebody tough in there. And I think they found a good replacement. I really do. I'm almost positive
they do,
Leo for sure.
Yeah.
I could have sworn I read that on the website today. I could be wrong, man. I read so much stuff. But I'm almost willing to put my money that it's Brashear. It is. Hold on. I just pulled up our website and the press release. Yeah, I'm right.
Hey, look who's back.
Yup. Look who's back. Back again.
Back again. Skippy, turn on your Skype, you dirty little snatcher.
You got it. I'll tell you what.
What did I miss, Rama, fellas?
Cool.
What did I miss?
Just bullshitting with Rama a little bit, man. Cool guy. We kind of talked over the card a little bit. I didn't get too deep into it. We talked about the fights that he's cornering, both the Elvises, plus his
fight.
Yeah,
Elvis Vukaj. His cousin is Elvis Vukaj.
Yes. And then we talked about his fight with Hacker, and then we touched a little bit on the Sam Alvey fight.
What do you think about that one? Does he think Mutafsis will take it?
Yeah. Yeah. Though it's going to be a great fight between, you know, some guys who can bang. We talked a little bit about the Moromo Spencer fight, but I didn't want to delve too far into that without you and each individual gentleman joining the show throughout the night. So I'm curious, though. Kirk Southern versus David Castillo. I think that's an interesting fight as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting ones.
Did you notice that there's quite a few welterweights on the card? I think it's interesting. I think it's really going to shake up the division there, you know. I like it.
Yeah, you like a lot of things, though, there, Sally.
I know I like picking Nate Marquardt. Oh no! Hold on a second. I didn't pick him, did I?
But you got one. You got one right. Like, you made the biggest stink about like 4 fights. You got one of them right.
Hey, one is better than what I win in my house against my wife. So I'm taking it and running to the bank with it.
I got 10 of 11 right on that card. 10 of 11.
Look. I got 9 out of 10 numbers on the lotto. Don't mean I won the lotto. Just means I was kind of partially right. I picked one fight and only one fight, and I was right. So that means I'm 100%. I'm a winner. You can touch me next time. Get some of my golden dust.
You're 100% right. I bet you if I got Jeff on the phone, he would definitely disagree with you being 100% right. He would tell you that you're 100% delusional.
I've actually had the pleasure of talking fights with Jeff, and I believe he won one. I'm not even sure if that was true, because I know the boy went in with heart palpitations and glaucoma. And I don't think he had a 108 temperature. He was very sick, but he, like a man, he took the fight against Jeff's boy, who I believe was on steroids. That's just a rumor. I don't want to validate it. But that's just my opinion. I mean, I think Jeff's been right once, maybe, but it's hard. I'm perfect.
I don't know. That one time he was right, you got a nice big fat tattoo down the side of your body.
Oh.
Looking like a jerk off.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Dude, we've got the Mark Pavlich proclaimed greatest striker in the world waiting to talk with us, and I'm having a debate with you how many fights you get right a year. You got one right so far in 2013. Good job, buddy. Mukai, are you with us, bro?
I'm with you guys. How you guys doing?
Very good, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just out here.
I haven't got to talk to you in a while.
So getting ready for this next fight. What was that?
I haven't got to talk to you in a while, man. Is everything going all right up there?
Well, I'm good, man. I'm good. Just out here in Canada, you know, living the life, training, getting ready for this next fight.
Are you back at TriStar for this camp?
Yeah, I went back to TriStar for this one. You know, the best gym in the country, one of the best gyms in the world, so it only makes sense.
Yeah, most definitely, man. I mean, you know, you said it best right there, man, one of the best gyms on the planet. And the results that come out of that facility, nobody can argue with. And unlike this one in Mexico, you guys fight. You don't run around and practice parkour in the cage.
I know, right? Last time I lived, you were going to be fighting in the cage, not jumping around like you had a chicken.
So what did you think when Mark declared you the world's greatest striker?
Well, I feel proud and honored that he sees that kind of talent in me. You know, I think I'm a striker. I'm a fighter. You know, I always bring the fight. I always aim to have an exciting fight. You know, I'm a crowd pleaser in my opinion. But I wouldn't. You know, I definitely feel honored that he sees me in that high of a regard.
Now, obviously, a lot of people feel that this is going to be kind of the classic, maybe striker versus, you know, grappler kind of fight. With people out there thinking that, how have you gone and designed this camp to deal with his ground game? Is that even something you're concerned about, or are you guys sticking with your normal game plan for a camp?
Like the game plan for the camp is always to be ready for any kind of contingency that comes up, you know. So his ground game is definitely his biggest asset, you know. That doesn't mean he's not going to come in there and try swing some punches and stuff, you know. He's an MMA fighter, he's a very well accomplished one. So to look at him as a one, you know, one level fighter who's just going to come in there and, you know, get his knees on the mat and start shooting all day is would be stupid. So I'm going to be ready for everything that he brings to me. Having said that, you know, I'm definitely focusing on my submission defense, takedown defense, and getting up on the ground if it does go that far.
Now, for anybody out there who might not know, you guys, this isn't your first meeting for you guys. Now, obviously, it's been, what, almost 2.5 years, 2 years, something like that? Your game
and
his game have obviously progressed. But does anything register from that fight in your mind mentally when you start getting ready for this camp?
Yeah, for sure. You know, last time I fought him, it was on a very short notice, you know, plus I had to cut an extra 5 pounds in a little less than 2 weeks to make it to, you know, 150 pounds instead of my usual 155. So it was a lot of different factors going into that fight, plus I'd be misinformed on the kind of fighter he was, you know. And it was very overrunning. Both of our careers, there wasn't any way to get any footage on the guy or find out any kind of background info about him. So it was more of a learning process with him, and I did a lot of learning in the ring with him. And, you know, it taught me a lot. He's actually one of the fights that forced me to go to, you know, a very good Brazilian jiu-jitsu and wrestling gym to kind of, you know, supplement my game and not just be a striker and learn how to get up off the ground and work some submissions on the ground, too, if I need to. So it was, you know, that fight was actually a very, very pivotal fight in my career. Having said that, I learned a lot from it, and this next fight is going to be completely different, you know. I mean, in that last fight, I cracked my rib in the first round, so I went through that. you know, and I managed to make it to the end to kind of speak out, to kind of lose a decision to him. So you know, from my natural weight class, and you know, I fought the guy before, I know what he's bringing. Plus, you know, my game is completely changed and evolved. You know, I'm a completely different fighter. I'm a mixed martial arts fighter now as opposed to being a Muay Thai fighter like I was back then. So it's going to be a totally different fight. It's going to be more exciting. There's definitely going to be a lot more action going on. And you know, as always, it's going to be a fan favorite. So you guys should definitely tune in.
Oh, you guarantee I will. You know, Access TV in America is pretty much on every single network. So anybody out there who can't seem to find it, come on over to the house. You guys can sit on the couch and watch it. You know, because I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I believe this is your fifth fight in the MFC, and this is a chance for you to make a serious statement, not only there, but to fighters around the world who are looking to come for your title. So I think this is a very important fight.
Well, it's definitely a very important fight. You know, it's one of those fights that is going to make or break my career. You know, not to say that I don't have a career going on right now, but it's definitely going to elevate me to the next level. You know, it's definitely one of those fights that I'm going to put down the stamp and let anybody know that you come out to the MFC looking for a fight, you know, in the lightweight division, you're going to find me waiting for you there, and it's not going to be a good experience for you. I'm going to put you through the ringer, and after I knock you out, you know, you can kind of go back where you came from and let everybody else know that, you know, you just don't go there looking for a fight.
So it'd be okay if I came up to TriStar and you knocked me out, I could come back home to Oregon and tell people, you wouldn't mind?
I wouldn't mind that at all, man. Shit. If you don't mind, if you let me give you email address. I'll text you the address. You can fly out here. I'll give you, like, one in the traps, and you can let everybody know what it'd be like to get kicked in the face by African Assassin, you know?
Hey, man, somebody fight me out. I'm willing to spar with Makai. I'll get my ass beat for you listeners. Make it happen, people.
Yeah, let's make it happen. I'd actually love that, man. If you can find somebody to fly you out here with, I'll give you 3 rounds of good sparring, man.
I'm ready. Yeah. Carl, make it happen.
Yeah, Carl. Open that checkbook.
Now,
hey, and for all the fans out there, TSN2, right around a week later, we'll be replaying this event. So you guys will be able to definitely check it out if you don't catch it live.
Yeah, definitely. I promise that when you come out here, we'll get you in the gym with the boys. We'll probably shark tank you with all the big names. You know, then you can Facebook that. Let everybody know who kicked your ass.
Hey, Makai, I know that you're coming off the back-to-back fights with Adam Lynn.
Yep.
The first one, people kind of threw their hands up in the air about who won the fight and who didn't. You came back in the second one, you dominated him, and ended up putting him away. Actually, though, the fight I want to talk to you about is the one with Sabah, because that fight was wicked awesome, man. And I want to know if that's one of the fights that you remember the most about your career.
That was definitely a benchmark fight in my career. It definitely the hardest fight I've had to date. You know, I was fighting Adam Lynn. You know, that guy's an accomplished MMA fighter. He's fought the who's who. You know, he's fought in Strikeforce and a number of really prestigious organizations. He was an accomplished fighter, you know, amazing takedowns, you know, good ground game, very solid stand-up game too, you know, so it's a fight where I had to grow up and learn as I was in the ring, and I never faced an MMA fighter of that caliber before. So going in there, you know, you got caught with punches, you got cut open, there's blood everywhere, you know. It was one of those fights that, you know, you had to make a gut check decision and decide that, you know what, today I'm not going to lose this fight, I'm going to fight to the end. And that's what I did, you know, I fought to the bitter end. I mean, most people put in that situation that I was in, you know, after to get caught with a nice clean left hook like that, you get dropped to the canvas and the guy hits you in the head with an elbow and he's riding you for the whole round. Most people would have given up on that fight and just kind of let it slide the way it's going to slide, you know, but I was like, you know what, man, I can't go out this way. And I fought, you know, and it was an amazing fight. You know, the decision, I think I won that fight, and people are entitled to their own decisions, but, you know, that's why there was a rematch, and I put the stamp on that one.
Yeah, you definitely did put the stamp on that one, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Now, you got Graham Spencer. We all saw his fight with Splenda Shane Nelson. That was a very interesting fight there. I thought that we would have saw Graham go down to 145, but you convinced him, I think, to stay at 155. How excited were you that when he accepted the fight and gave you the rematch that you wanted?
I was very excited. You know, it's not every day you get a chance to avenge a loss on your record. That happens at the very beginning of your career against someone who's now touted as one of the top fighters in the country, you know, here in Canada. So it was a tremendous opportunity, you know, and I'm glad you accepted it. You know, hats off to him for stepping up and you know, taking a second fight and not going back down to 145 like he usually does. I mean, you know, it just shows the kind of heart that you have, you know, with people fighting MFC, you know, like you, fight comes up and it feels like the right fight, you take it, you know, and I think he made a good choice for me, but not really for himself, you know.
Well, you know, this card, it, to me, is a very stacked card. I'm super excited. I know that you're super focused and you know, obviously should be. But as a fan, are there any fights on this card that you are looking forward to seeing after your win?
Oh, man. I always say this, and it's going to start to sound repetitive and monotonous, but it's the truth. You know, on the MFC card, it's like I hate being one of the last guys because I missed such an amazing card. I mean, here you got Addison Topchich fighting. You know, fighting that smiley guy. That's going to be a good fight. You know, you got Kurt Sutter fighting, Saba Fadai's fighting. All these guys put on their show. You know, really, 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 really talented fighters who always bring the fight like 100%. So I want to watch the whole thing from back to back. You know, from the first fight on the live card all the way to the last fight. You know, like I definitely want to watch the whole thing. So every single fight on there. Special note of Elvis Mukachev's fight. Like he's very talented, man. That guy's a destroyer. So I want to see how that fight turns out. You know, because it's a big step up in competition. He's fighting another former.
We've talked about that fight with Sam Alvey, and I think Elvis, I've picked him on other shows. You know, I've got Elvis winning that fight. I think it's going to be a great fight. Some people are thinking Elvis is going to knock out Alvey in the first round. I've seen a lot of people saying that, so I'm curious. I think it's a great, great fight. I think if he does knock out Alvey, it could definitely cement his middleweight title, at the MFC. So I think it's kind of cool. I think it's a great fight. They're, you know, like you said, though, MFC cards top to bottom, they're always great fights.
Yeah.
Now, Makai, do you prefer the ring? Do you prefer the ring over the cage?
I definitely prefer the ring. I think the ring takes out all the added advantages of a cage because the cage, you know, you can use that as a tool, as a weapon. You know, you press someone up against the cage, you know, it definitely gives you an edge on the takedown. You know, you can hold on to a person to kind of stall the game and gradually drag them down. And then also defensively, the cage can help as a prop to stand you up when a fighter is trying to take you down, you know. So I think the ring adds a different dimension to where, you know, you can't use the ropes as a secondary tool, you know what I mean? If you try and force somebody up, you know, pin them up against the ropes to kind of stall the game, they're going to go through the ropes there, you know, and the ref is going to bring it back to standing in the center of the ring. So I think it has a totally different dimension, and it adds that realism, you know, where if you're going to take somebody down, you're going to have to use your own steam. If you want to get up, you know, on the other aspect of things, you're going to have to use your own steam, vice versa, you know. So I think the ring actually has a very realistic element to it, and I definitely like it. I prefer the ring 100%. Plus, with the Thai boxing background, you know, I love jumping over the top ropes and then kicking the shit out of someone and jumping in the turnbuckle, getting those hands up. And it's always fun, you know.
Yeah, I you know, when I do that to Skippy Makai, I mean, I totally know what you're saying about it being fun, man.
Makai, let's understand. He has never got the best of me, dude. First of all, I'm old and I'm fat. I grab him, I sit on him, the fight's over.
I'm looking to you settle that, but if you bring that fight my way, I'm going to take you both down.
I believe you would probably whoop me like a stepchild, man, if I got in the cage with you for sparring, man. I love it.
Dude, I'm gonna make that with you, right?
Dude, it would be kind of cool, man. Like I've had a couple of fighters that I, you know, have followed for years as a kid and as an adult, and there's fighters out there. I've gotten a chance to like get, you know, in their gyms and have them take photos you know, like punching me or, you know, choking me out. So it'd be cool to add you to the wall, to have like a big like leg imprint, take a photo of it, have you sign the bruise or something.
I'd love to do that, man. Just let me know whenever you're ready and we get that set up for you, no problem.
When we spar, Makai, can I wear one of those sumo outfits?
Oh, for sure. I think so, man. I think you should. That's a good idea. A very good idea.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of those, like, attack dog outfits and show up in that and be like, go ahead, kick me.
Are you going to spend any time at Iron Tiger for this camp or anything like that?
No. I wasn't going to do Iron Tigers. You know, being that it's a mixed martial arts fight, and there's a really high level of grappling and submission wrestling going on at TriStar. I wanted to make that the basis of my camp, where I'm always working with, you know, the high level guys. I mean, at any given time you get into the gym here at TriStar, there's any number of people who appear on the top 10 list of various weight classes in the world. You know, so even just a week or 2 weeks of that is incomparable to anything anywhere else. You know, so this is what I'm going to do the remainder of my camp leading up to the fight.
What is it besides the level of talent in the gym? I mean, that draws you guys there. What is it about Faraz the Hobby that you guys all are drawn to Montreal to train with him?
There's a lot of camaraderie here, you know. Everybody's there to help everybody, you know what I mean? It's like there's guys like me who are really talented as stand-up guys, and then guys, you know, who are talented as Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys, and guys who are talented as wrestlers, and guys who are talented as submission wrestlers, and guys who are talented as, you know, full-on MMA fighters. So it's just, there's a lot of camaraderie in the aspect of, you know, you will spar and you will roll, but you help each other. You know, if I'm doing something wrong in certain positions, you know, the person I'm working with will definitely tell me, like, you know what, try and do this and try and do that. And then, you know, vice versa, if we're doing something in the striking department, I try to put in my element. And then, there's also, you know, high-level coaches. You know, they're not fighters. They're just coaches. That's all they do. You know, they know the ins and outs of the game. And they sit there and they coach you as you work, you know. So that in itself is an invaluable asset to have, you know. I mean, having Faraz or some of the striking guys, the Thai guys doing the striking, and they're watching you do your thing, and then they give you the little tips and tricks to kind of point your game in the right direction. All that, you know. Plus, you know, you have the dorms on site, so you can train, you know, 3-4 times a day, you know, just by walking across to the gym and training, coming back, showering, getting in the dorm and chilling. So there's a lot of different aspects, all of which are positive. You know, I mean, I can't really find a negative thing to say about TriStar. So I mean, it's just a good place to be, you know, good atmosphere, and I love training here.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell by the way that you talk about TriStar there that maybe you might have found a new home since you've kind of leaving the Thai boxing behind now. But I know that there's some guys that you're training with back there, like Orion Rother, that have really been making some noise. And how's his progression going since he had the LASIK? Or have you had a chance to converse with Ryan lately?
Ryan's actually my roommate, and I'm like, he's, you know, his Muay Thai instructor / MMA, you know, striking for MMA coach. So he's doing good, man, you know, and he's actually fighting for the number one contender spot for a show out in Edmonton called Unify. And that's going to be in March, and then after that, you know, after he wins that one, we're going to go for that unified title for him, you know. So he's doing big things in his own realm, you know. And that's another example of a guy who kind of, you know, had a bit of run of things at the beginning of his career, and then, you know, he took the step to kind of find people who knew what they were doing. And you know, he kind of came to me and was like, man, you're like, you know, the Muay Thai thing, you know how to do the stand-up thing, like, you know, shit, you know, teach me, and I want to win fights. And, you know, right now he's on a 4-fight win streak, and, you know, this next one's gonna be number 5 and take him to number 6 and get that gold on his waist too, you know. So he's doing really good actually.
Now, Makai, do you enjoy coaching maybe more than getting a win?
It definitely has its upsides. I love when I coach students who listen and are productive, you know, because there's certain people who, when you're coaching them, they think they know better. or they've seen something on TV and they want to do it, but they don't understand why it's being done, you know, and when you tell them not to do it in that particular instance, they, you know, they kind of, oh, well, I've seen this guy do it, and it worked for him. And they're like, well, yeah, he's, hey, he's top-level, world-class fighter, and he did it in the opportune moment, in the right situation. He just didn't go in there and start throwing spinning back kicks and spinning elbows the whole fight, you know, to knock the guy out. You know, he did his due diligence, and he landed the move, you know. And so when you coach somebody who listens and acts like a sponge and absorbs all the knowledge, and then when you squeeze it, all the water comes out, and you see him work and win, it's a very proud moment for me. But at the same time, I find I'm also a fighter, so I have to dedicate a certain amount of time to my career and being a fighter. So the coaching thing is probably going to be put on the back burner after this fight, and I'm going to go 100% into just being me for the next 2 or 3 years.
Man, that's great, man, because I would really hate to see somebody with your talent. And I've seen what you've been able to do with Ryan. We've talked about him before. And like you said, he did have a rough start to his career, but since he's got with you, man, he's really turned it around. And I'm sure it's not just you, but those guys there at the gym that you were at previously are all just, you know, really working with him. But it seems like you have a real talent with working with some of these guys. And I hope that when your successful career is finally over, that we see you cage side coaching some of these guys up and helping them win the titles that you will have held. By the time they get there.
Oh, for sure. That's the eventual plan. You know, I love coaching, and you're right. It's not all my fault that he's winning fights, you know. But at the same time, he took the initiative to find someone who kind of knew what was going on, and you know, a good student is someone you can point in the right direction and they'll run, you know, in that direction to tell him to stop. And that's a good thing about him. You know, go here and work your jits. So go there and work your jits. Go here and do your S&C. Go here and do the S&C, you know. So you're very right. It's not all about one person who does one thing for you, you know, but it does take one person who can point you in the right direction and kind of bring all the right elements in one place for you and get you going. Kind of like how it is here, right? You know, you have Farad as the head instructor, but, you know, there's numerous other instructors where, you know, he does a lot of the work, but then there's other guys kind of adding in the elements, and you kind of have many guys making the light work, and that's how you become, like, you know, a high-level gym where everybody's successful in there, because you have a lot of people with a lot of knowledge putting it all into one pot, you know, to speak, and you know, it, you can only get greatness out of that.
Now, as far as 2013, we know you've got a big fight, February 15th. What do you see after that fight, and what can we maybe expect to see from Makai Maromo throughout the rest of the year?
Well, you know, the mark of a champion isn't just getting a title, it's defending it, you know, and I, in my mind, I definitely did become the unofficial lightweight champion against Adam Lynn, but, you know, I have to make it official now and defend it, so I'm definitely gonna have, you know, a couple fights to go with Mark Talbot and MFC, you know, because they're a good organization, you know, very, very top-notch organization, you know, well put together, and they do good things for me. So right now, you know, as far as into the future, as I can see, you know, all I see is Greg Spencer right now, and that's, you know, that's the focal point of all my attention. But after that, you know, I definitely hope to get another big name under my belt, you know, and defend the title, or, you know, from that big name, and then we'll go from there.
You know, I consistently hear how great of an organization MFC is, and how awesome it is to fight for them. What's some of the things that you think differentiate what Mark does with MFC and what some of the other organizations are doing?
I was a very high level of professionalism, right? I mean, Mark Pavlich isn't out to try and be a friend, you know, and vice versa. I'm not trying to go to his house for dinner, you know. I'm not trying to make a lunch date with him. Like, he's a promoter and I'm a fighter, you know, so it's very professional, you know. You get a fight, you get a contract for a fight, you know, you get a contract to fight this specific fighter. You know, there's no runarounds, there's no fighters dropping out, you know, 3 or 4 times and you're having to adjust your game plan 3 or 4 times. You know, when you show up for the fight, you have a written out itinerary for you. You know, you have a set schedule to follow. You do your interviews here, you do your weigh-ins here, you do your medicals here, you do your pre-fight stuff here. You show up to the arena at this time, you're in this dressing room, blah, blah, blah. You know, so really all you have to do is show up, and then and you get put on the conveyor belt, and then you do your thing, you know, as opposed to some of the smaller shows where you get in there and it's just a mess, and you got to find this and find that, and you don't know where this is happening, and you don't know where this is, and, oh, we need some more water in the back room, we need some more ice, you know, we need a mat for these guys to roll on. Everything's professional, you know. And not to mention that, you know, you have the Access TV production crew over there, you know, doing their thing. You know, so it's all around, it's just a professional job, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. Hey, we're about to wrap this segment up. Makai, do you want to give a shout-out to all your sponsors and let them know where they can find you via social media and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, you're looking for me, you find me at African Assassin on Twitter. That's African with a K. My Facebook page, The African Assassin, just type in the search African Assassin, African with a K. My page will come up. Definitely like that page. I'm always updating it. Got my highlight reel on there. It looks sick. You guys have to check it out. Biggest sponsor of mine, Crystal Glass, my manager, Ken Franchek, has done a lot for me. You know, he's gone to the booth for me, got me a lot of sponsorship, you know, put me in touch with Mark Pavlich for this last run, and, you know, pretty much put me where I am right now. The Central Glass Works, they always do all my trips and traveling stuff, and they always get me where I need to be. You know, Edmonton Rush, biggest lacrosse team out here in Canada, doing big things out in Edmonton. You know, I got a lot of guys pushing behind me, you know, Western RV, Flamin' Fitness, so, you know, Union Hall, Crush Ultra Lounge, St. Pete's Gentlemen's Club, you know, where the real gentlemen play. So all those guys have helped put me where I am right now, and you know, I'm going to go to do for them and represent.
Hey, so well, after you beat me up in the sparring, can we go to the Gentlemen's Club?
You're not ready for the Gentlemen's Club, baby. They get down over there.
That's great. Man, I might not be able to teach the African Assassin much inside the ropes, but I might be able to teach him a few things on how to party.
There you go. We'll make a deal then. You guys will come down and go in the gym. I'll show you a couple things in the gym. I'll school you guys. Then we'll go to the Gentlemen's Club, and you guys can show me how it's done.
You got it, man. Just don't melt me too bad in the gym.
Oh, hey, you know, if you guys could come down here, show me a thing or two in the gym and at the Gentlemen's Club, I'm going to be your fan.
I love it.
Hey, man, we so appreciate you taking the time to come out. I know you've got a big test in front of you, and you took the time to come hang with us tonight on My House Live. We really appreciate it, man. We wish you the best of luck.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. You know, I appreciate guys like you who go, you know, who go out of their way to make sure the fighters have a voice, and, you know, we get to say out a little bit, you know, because short of being on your show, nobody really gets to talk to me and find out the things that you ask me and get that inside look of what a fighter does, where he goes, how he does his thing, and they just kind of see the fight on Access TV, and they go, oh, damn, this guy's good, but they don't really know the background of it, and you guys do a good job of bringing that to light, so definitely, you know, big up to you guys, and, you know, keep doing your thing. This is real good.
And it makes it easy for fans.
Thanks, man. Makai, I really appreciate you saying that, man. It means a lot, brother.
No problem, guys. No problem. Thanks for having me on your show. It's been a blast.
Hey, anytime, man, and we'll do it again.
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
anybody out there
wants
to
watch it? I'm always down to go on your show.
Hey, always welcome. And
for
fans out there who want to watch, you know, his fight or any of the fights from the MFC 36 card, it's going to be airing on Access TV February 15th, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. It'll be live from the Shaw Conference Center in Edmonton, Alberta. You guys, get there and watch it. It's going to be worth it, man. It's going to be a great event. Carl, you want to pay some bills?
Well, I don't think you have to. I think it's more a thing that he has to.
Yeah, you're clenched.
Would I be right? Would I be right, Carl?
Carl, would I be right?
At getclenched.com. Intimidation Clothing. Dank Grimes. No Pain, Just Glory. Central Oregon Trike. Combat Sports Insurance. Vision Smoke Shop. 24 and LV. Draco Sports. Triumph Fitness. Big T's Nightclub. Revolver MMA. Crossroader Clothing, and of course, Brawl Base. See you guys on the other side.
the one and only Toxic Holocaust. You can download them at tankcrimes.com. They just won Album of the Year. You know, get over there and do it. You know, it's cheap and it's great tunes if you love the punk and metal. We're back, boys.
Pumpkin metal? What the hell's pumpkin metal, Carl?
Pumpkin metal, you know.
Oh, punk!
quit bugging me. Leave me alone, Beanie.
Man, Makai Maroma, man. What a kick-ass dude, huh?
Good interview. Great guy. You know, Graham Spencer is in queue and ready to join you guys.
Well, why don't you bring him in, Carl? Why don't you bring him in for us?
Is this like the new thing that you and Skippy are doing to me tonight, or what?
Yeah, we
want
to
know.
Since you guys
I bet you,
to
you did.
About the show, this is your punishment.
Oh, I suck at my job. Well, let's see how to do this. You're so much better at this than me, Lepaki. But you know, I'd like to introduce to the show first-time guest Graham Spencer. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going good. Hold on, let's try this again, okay? Because that was a crap call, dude. Fighting out of Canada, one of the top fighters in his weight class, 9-1. Welcome to Madhouse Live, Graham Spencer.
Now that's an introduction.
Well,
much better.
I actually have a better one. I want to thank you for making me a lot of money on your last fight with Splenda Shane Nelson. Thank you.
No problem, man. I wish I would have thrown down some money on myself.
Man, plus 145, I thought I was highway robbing the sports book that night.
Right on, man.
So how's everything up there for you going right now, Graham?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I'm down in Sacramento, California right now. Just finished up another hard day of training at Ultimate Fitness with Team Alpha Male. About a month out now. Things are looking good. I don't have to cut weight for this fight, so I'm feeling great and got lots of energy.
How much does that help a fighter when you know that, you know, just through your training, that when you get to the fight that you'll pretty much be on weight? You said you won't have to cut any weight. You may, you know, a pound or two or whatever it is. Is that like a huge load off your mind when you're going through a camp that you can focus more on the training and less on the diet?
Well, this is the first time I fought at 155, so I know I've never done it before, but it's been great so far. I mean, because, yeah, usually, like, diet and losing weight is one of my main focuses. And, you know, it adds a lot of stress. But, I mean, it also it sort of helps you take your mind off the fight sometimes, and it lets your body know that you're getting ready for a fight. But I'm excited to see how it is on fight night. I mean, I'm sure my cardio is going to be better than it's ever been before, so I'm excited about that.
So, got to ask you, obviously, you know, people have been talking, this is kind of a ground versus striker style fight. Knowing that you have, you know, obviously, you know, a game that's more evolved on the ground, do you, you know, is that what you're looking to do right off the bat, is just put them down and finish your style, or do you want to test your striking at all? I mean, are you going in there just to knock them down and tap them out or beat them down?
Well, my game plan would be, I mean, ideally, I'd like to be on top on the ground. But if that's not the case, that's okay. I mean, I've been working a lot on my hands, and he's been dropped in his last couple of fights. So he's got amazing stand-up, but it's not like he's invincible or anything. So I'll be ready to fight wherever the fight goes, but preferably I'd like to be on top on the ground.
Well, obviously,
what's it like training with Master Song?
it's pretty good. He's kind of crazy, and sometimes it's hard to understand him. But we've actually there's a new head coach down here, Dwayne Ludwig. So it's pretty cool having him, because he speaks English and everything. But I've still been doing a lot of mitt work with Master Tong. He's unreal at holding mitts and good at know, like he watches when you spar and gives you tips and works on footwork and stuff like that. But yeah, he's a pretty crazy and wild guy.
Well, you've definitely been on a tear in the last 2 years. You know, MFC Gold, let's be honest, a lot of great guys have held it. How important is it to you to get that strap on the 15th of February?
Well, the belt's not the most important thing to me. The most important thing to me is just, you know, proving that I'm a better fighter than Mukai. But, I mean, it's an unbelievable honor to even have the chance to fight for an MFC belt. I mean, like you said, anyone that's held an MFC belt, you know, they've gone on to do big things, and only top-level fighters have ever had that MFC gold around their waist, and I'm hoping to be the next.
Well, that's an interesting answer. I like your honesty. A lot of fighters have been like, you know, the strap is the most important thing, but I like your mentality about that. You know, going into this, do you feel that this is probably your toughest fight to date?
Yeah, I mean, your next fight is always going to be your toughest fight. I mean, that's the way you got to look at it, or else you're not going to train as hard as you need to. And, you know, it's going to be my first fight at 155. Mukai is a super talented guy, really athletic, big, strong. And it's going to be a five-rounder, so, you know, I'm sure it's going to be really tough, but those are the kind of fights that I love.
So is because of who had the title and the competition the reason you went to 155 instead of either going down to 135 or staying at 145?
No, you know, preferably I wanted to stay at 145. I mean, I could make 135, but I would hate my life doing that. So I don't ever really want to fight at 135. 145 is perfect for me. You know, I wasn't looking to fight at 155, but this is a fight that Mark Pavlich really wanted to see, and so he's my boss, and I want to give him a show.
Good attitude. You take the fights that are given. I mean, I like to see it 155. I think it's going to be interesting. You know, Lopaki did touch on it, not having to so much focus on weight cuts and getting to focus more on, you know, controlling your cardio and working for a five-round fight. That's got to be great. We've got to be able to – hopefully we'll see a much different, you know, much more maybe even aggressive – Graham Spencer, because you didn't have to worry about a weight cut.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, it's great to, you know, put in a hard day's training, you know, being able to go out for dinner, you know, have good meals with the boys, just be able to help you relax a bit more. You know, you're not putting all the stress on your body. You're not, you know, usually when you weight cut a lot, it's really easy to get sick, but I'm feeling great right now, and hopefully I look amazing on February 15th.
Well, you know, I believe, you know, we had just talked to your opponent, and I believe his camp is just like yours. You guys are both training for war. There's a lot on the line, a great strap from a phenomenal organization. So I hope we see fight of the night. You know, that's what I hope to see. I hope to see just a fight that fans are standing there 6 months later still talking about.
Yeah, me too. I mean, get to be the main event live on Access TV. You know, this is a big opportunity. Lots of people are going to be watching. So I really hope I can put on an exciting performance.
Hey, Grant, you mentioned down there with Dwayne Ludwig, and I've been hearing nothing but good things coming out of the Sacramento area about his addition there to Team Alpha Male. What is it that Dwayne brings to the table that might be helping your guys' striking out?
Well, yeah, Dwayne's been around the game, you know, for a super long time. He was a kickboxer at a really high level, and he's also fought in the UFC, so he's got a lot of striking stuff that he's taken from his kickboxing that really transitions to the MMA game. So working a lot, I'm not going to go into specifics, but, you know, a lot of stuff to work on closing the distance and things that really were good for MMA. And like Master Tong's more of a Muay Thai specialist, but, you know, Dwayne's fought MMA on a really high level. So he brings a lot to the table just with his knowledge. And also, it's a lot easier to communicate with Dwayne than it is with Master Tong.
That's sweet. Now, have you spent much time with Uriah? Because in my opinion, when I think about elite strikers inside of the MMA game, I have Uriah as one of the all-time greats. What's it like to get in to train with those guys down there?
Oh, it's unreal. I mean, I spent a lot of time with Uriah. Like, I was sleeping on his couch all last week, just because we were sort of helping Dwayne get ready, you know, moving here and stuff. You know, it's unreal just being around Uriah and all the guys like Joseph, Chad, Danny, Justin Buchholz. There's so many high-level guys down here. It's super motivating just to see, you know, how hard they work. You know, getting in the ring with them, it's really intimidating, but at the same time, it's really good for you because, I mean, if I'm sparring with guys like Uriah and Chad and TJ Dillashaw, it's just going to make the fight that much easier.
Now, you're up at a great gym there at Impact MMA in Nanaimo, and you've made the transition down to Team Alpha Male. Is this a permanent transition, or is this strictly for this fight with Makai, or?
No, this is I'm going to be doing all my training camps down here. Just, Impact's been great. It still is great. It's just a lot of the guys, like, when I first started there, we had probably, 10 guys that were fighting. But now it's sort of petering out, guys are just moving on with their lives and stuff like that. So there's not a whole lot of guys to train with. And it's tough. Like, we can only get into the gym there, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And it's just not going to cut it for the level of guys I'm fighting. So I'm going to be doing all my training camps down here.
Yeah, how awesome was that when you finally made that decision that was where you were going to go? And what was it about Team Alpha Male that attracted you to that specific gym?
Well, the main thing is, I mean, I was always a huge Uriah fan, and I just love the way he fights. And all the guys down here, they've got, you know, a great style of fighting. They're all super aggressive, and one of the main things is they're all around my size. So, like, we got a room full of guys. I mean, all the guys in the UFC, there's a ton more. Like, even the amateur guys down here are studs, and they're all around my weight class. So you're never going to be short of training partners. There's always going to be someone in the room that can beat you up. And I came down here the first time. Like, this is my third camp down here. And, I mean, after that first time of being down here, I mean, I got beat up a lot, but I learned so much, and it made me a lot tougher, and it just made me realize that if I want to get to the highest level in this sport, this is the place I got to be.
So you were there for the Albrecht rematch, which was a freaking war, 4 rounds, if I remember right.
Yeah, no, that one I actually trained. I trained at home just because I was working a lot, and I couldn't really get over that. I was down here for the fight with Nelson, and then the fight I had with it was Roy Bradshaw.
Oh, That was that's another tough guy from here in the Pacific Northwest. Well, how did the Shane Nelson fight go for you, in your opinion? I mean, we all know you got the win and you kind of dominated that fight, but what was your personal view about how that fight went as far as what you wanted to do and the game plan that you guys have predetermined for that?
It actually didn't really – I was expecting a totally different kind of fight. I mean, I was super happy with the win. I mean, Shane's fought all over the world, you know. He's fought top competition. He's been in the UFC. I was expecting more of a stand-up fight. I thought he was going to be, like, super hard to take down, and I thought he was going to be really slick on the ground. He's got a brown belt under BJ. So I was super happy with the win. After watching the fight, I mean, it's always easy to say afterwards, but I should have been a lot more aggressive on the ground, but I was kind of being a bit conservative because I knew he had a brown belt under BJ. I was waiting and reacting to him too much instead of putting my own jiu-jitsu game on him. But I was still happy with the fight. I mean, I walked away pretty much unscathed, and I dominated the entire fight and against a really high-level guy. So I felt pretty good about it.
No, I mean, it's definitely a good win. I mean, I know I joke around a lot about Splenda Shane Nelson and all these, you know, kind of jokey names I say out there. But I really think, you know, I have the utmost respect for Shane and where he trains at. But I just felt that you were a class above him going into that fight, and you really displayed that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, most people thought that, you know, he was going to walk through me. So really appreciated some people being in my corner.
Yeah, man, I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, the way, like, and we'll talk about this kind of from a strange point of view, but, you know, you were a plus 145, and the fact that you're the number one featherweight in the country of Canada blew my mind, because in order for you to be an underdog, you'd have had to, like, in my opinion, you'd have had to have been fighting, like, the top American 145er, and that, in my opinion, just isn't Shane Nelson. I really feel you kind of were getting disrespected going into that fight, and I think you earned a lot of respect coming out of that fight.
Yeah, I can understand what people are thinking, though. I mean, you know, he's been in the UFC. He's had a lot more fights than me. You know, he's been on TV. People know who he is. So I was sort of expecting that. And but, yeah, I was super happy to get that win.
Now, I want to kind of talk about something. You got a pretty cool manager. What's it like having Darcy in your corner?
Oh, Darcy's a cool guy. You know, we grew up in the same town. So, you know, we know all the same people. And, you know, he's more of a buddy than a manager. But he's been great for me. MSC didn't have a 145-pound division, and, you know, he somehow got me in the MSC and got them to start the 145-pound division, so I'm really appreciative of that, and, yeah, he's been great.
So we got about 6-7 minutes left, and, you know, we're going to keep talking to you, but before we run out of time, I just want you to give a chance to give any shout-outs. Sponsors, Facebook, Twitter, for fans to find you, friends, gyms, whatever.
Well, mainly I'd just like to give a shout out to, you know, Darcy at Echelon Fighter Management and Team Alpha Male. All the guys down here in Sacramento, they're a huge help. You know, they hooked me up with a place to stay and, you know, treat me like I'm part of the team. And also all the guys back home at Impact that, you know, put in all the work when I'm home. And we're still in the process of getting all our sponsors and stuff figured out. But, you know, closer to the fight, I'll have all that figured out.
So if everything goes the way you'd like it to go and you walk out with a win, Are you going to try to stay at 155 for some time, or will we see you try to go and take some fights at 145 as well?
Well, I'm not looking too far ahead, but I don't really see myself staying at 155. I mean, like I've been trying to put on weight, and I'm still only 162 pounds, and that's only a couple pounds heavier than when I'm fighting 145. So, you know, 145 is probably where I'm gonna be. But I'm not looking past Mukai at all. I mean, this is going to be a great fight.
Okay. Graham, it sounds like you need to work on your inner fat kid, bro.
I know, man. I just downed a whole bunch of spaghetti, and I just can't put the weight on.
Dude, let me fix that for you right now. Coming from Texas, the fattest state in the nation.
You guys finally talked to Mississippi, huh?
Is it Mississippi now? They're all fat down there because all we eat is fried crap and lots of potatoes. So get you some chicken fried steak and some country gravy. Get you some, like, okra and some boudin and just stuff that down, man. You'll be fat in a week.
Yeah, man, I know. I went down to Dallas on a work trip for a week, and, man, it was unreal. All the barbecues, all you can eat, and, oh, man, it was just unreal.
Somebody send him to Dallas stat.
Graham, how nice is it not having to work during training?
Oh, man, it's amazing. I mean, I had a pretty, like, a lot of responsibility in my old job. I was an electrician. I was a foreman. So, you know, working full-time, I mean, a lot of stress, a lot of responsibility, and then when you get home, you got to go train. Just being able to, you know, wake up, eat, train, sleep, eat, train. I mean, this is a dream come true for me.
Well, you know, we're definitely looking forward, and for all the fans out there who, you know, want to catch him go to war, Access TV, February 15th, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, live from the Shaw Conference Center in Edmonton, Alberta. He will be going to war. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck. I hope you get to get everything you want out of this. And I think it'd be kind of cool to take back a strap down to Alpha Male and be like, bam, boys, look what we brought home. You know, I think it'd be great. Maybe we see some more of your teammates floating up there, since there's a lot in your weight class down there. We get to see some more of those guys making some waves up in Canada for MFC.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great to have some of the guys come up there. I know a bunch of them want to. I mean, and all the guys down here, you know, fight super exciting. So, yeah, it'd be great if we could get some Team Alpha Male guys up in the MFC.
Well,
hold on. I got one quick question. Grant, you seem so relaxed all the time. Is that part of your training, or is that just like your natural personality? And if that's your personality, what do you do to get up for a fight?
You know, that's just my personality. I'm pretty laid back. You know, Uriah's trying to get me to be a little bit more outgoing. He made me do. He made me do, like, you know what Toastmasters is?
Yeah.
We were doing, it's like public speaking. So we were doing, last night we did a team Toastmasters session. Man, that's the worst. but I mean, I don't try to get, you know, super hyped up for fights, because I think the more emotion you are, you know, the more tired you're going to get, and that's the worst thing that can happen to you in a fight.
Now, did Uriah happen to tell the story about his, like, bar brawl in Indonesia for his Toastmasters by chance?
No, I've heard that one, but you're supposed to talk about something that you don't have personal experience with, so, you know, it gets you thinking on your feet and stuff like that. Like, I had one of my topics was... Why I had to explain and give good reasons why Canada is the worst country in the world.
And what did you say, Graham?
Video.
What did you say?
I was, you know, talking a little bit about the weather, a little bit about taxes. I was, you know, I was really struggling trying to find something to say because, you know, Canada's probably the best country in the world.
Now, are you excited that hockey's back?
You know, that's cool and everything, but I'm not a huge hockey guy. I mean, I'll watch in the playoff stuff, but hockey's never really been my thing. But, you know, I know everyone else back at home is super excited.
Man, see, you fit right in here in America. We could care less about hockey, too, bro. Welcome
yeah.
home, man. Welcome home, Graham.
Yeah,
welcome
man.
Home.
We'll
claim you
it's
as our own.
Follow the NFL.
Yeah, the NFL, that's right. Everybody in Canada needs to remember that, Carl included, man. Ain't no NHL.
Yeah,
the NFL.
NFL.
And right in front of that, we got some MMA, man, where everybody can tune in February 15th and watch the main event with Graham Spencer and Makai Maromo, as they will definitely bring the house down. Are there any other fights on that card that really intrigue you, or have you had a chance to kind of check it out?
Mike Hackert, Mike the Honey Badger Hackert, man. His fight's going to be unreal.
Now, that's one of your former training partners, right?
Well, we live on the same island, so, you know, he fought a teammate of mine a while ago, and since then, he's been down to training a few times. We don't train a lot together, but we're buddies, and I love watching him fight. He's super exciting, especially for a heavyweight.
What do you think about the fact that he was a middleweight, and then he jumps up to heavyweight and takes out who was considered the top heavyweight in Canada and Tim Hay?
I know, man. It's crazy. I mean, he always used to cut a lot of weight for middleweight, so maybe that was, you know, just draining him too much because, you know, he looks amazing at heavyweight. But, you know, also part of it, I think the talent pool in heavyweight isn't quite as big as it is in middleweight in Canada. But, I mean, man, Mike just looks unstoppable at heavyweight.
Well, hey, Graham, I really appreciate, you know, you kicking back and hanging out with us tonight. We're going to wrap up this segment, get ready for your boss, actually, and, you know, wish you the best of luck, man, and, you know, definitely want to talk to you again in the future.
Right on, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
Hey
Graham,
anytime,
thank you
man.
Very much, bro.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Good night. Oh, I'll tell you what, Labaki, that's going to be a war. I'm super excited, man. You know, obviously he's getting prepared, and knowing that he's getting to do striking with some of the gentlemen that he named, it's going to be interesting. It's going to definitely be an interesting fight.
Well, and the nice thing about Team Alpha Male is that, you know, you've got Master Fong down there and Dwayne Ludwig, who are, you know, some of the better striking coaches in the game. And then you got a room full of fucking wrestlers, bro. So it's not like you're really dropping the ball anywhere. I mean, you're staying fairly well-rounded. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for a guy like Graham to go down there and train.
And he made a great point about having so many partners in his weight class to train with, whereas living on the island, you're limited to who's available. You know, what if a guy's sick for a week or a guy is working on the opposite time? You know, whereas down there, he's got 6-7 guys, you know, there probably every day that he can train with and you know, work with.
Yeah, and you know, Uriah owns like a two blocks of worth of houses down there. So even like they go to the gym and they come home and they like live in this little like secluded neighborhood. I'm surprised he hasn't built a fence around it or something yet, you know, for their training. So they're always together. They're probably always talking the fight game. And it's just a great environment.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Well, it seems like our next guest might be ready. And
I don't know if anybody else believes in miracles, but I know that Mark Pavlich has made some miracles happen over the course of his lifetime. Mr. Pavlich, you with us?
I'm here, guys. What's shaking, man?
Not much. How you doing? How you doing?
Oh, God, guys, if I tell you, it sounds like I'm bragging all the time, so I'll just say I'm doing okay, right? But that's a lie, because
no,
I'm not. We're killing it, so.
If you would have told me you were doing okay, I'd have had to call bullshit, Mark. I'd have known better.
It would. 100% it is, right? Listen, when you've been in this game 13 years, right, and you have the family that I have, right, it's not even fair for my competitors anymore, right? We're in the big three now. Right? That's every interview you hear, that's not me saying it. That's Americans, Canadians, everybody's saying it. We're in the big three now. The MFC is, right? Now that Strikeforce has gotten down, we're going into our 13th year. Most people believe we're in the top three in the world, right? So it's an exciting time for us, and we're going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I actually think you guys are ahead of Bellator and where they're at, especially with a lot of the things that Bjorn's been doing here recently. I think he's kind of shooting himself in the foot. Getting into these silly lawsuits with, you know, his fighters and stuff. But enough about the baloney with that. You got a great card coming up February 15th, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Which fight, I know you put the card together, but which fight intrigues you the most?
No, it's like asking, you know, a great artist, what painting did he like to paint the best, right? Guys, are you kidding me, man? Listen to me. I'm not even going to talk about Canadian MMA no more, man. I'm not talking about it because I created it, right? The funny part is, what's there not to like, right? Let's go from the top to the bottom. You have Mukai Moromo, Graham Spencer. Graham Spencer, who beat Mukai Moromo the first fight, clearly beat him. I don't care if someone had to cut weight. I don't care that someone took the fight on short notice. I don't care. Graham Spencer won. Done. Right? Now, Mr. Spencer, showing the true warrior spirit that he has, not like these other fakes in this country that, you know, you call them up and they'll fight anybody, right? You hear that lots from fighters in this country. I'll fight anybody but him, and him, right? So, you know, it's funny, and I could give you a name of about 10 guys that you'd go, no, that guy will fight anybody. No, he won't. They won't fight anybody. Even the people in my town that play the role, that fight for the smaller shows, they all run around town saying, oh, yeah, we're fighting an MFC. We're fighting an MFC. The second we go to sign them and we tell them who they're going to fight, guess what they do? They go, oh, no, we don't want to fight the MFC, man. You know what I mean? We just want to walk around with our Tapo shirt on and pretend we're going to fight in the MFC, right? Because sharks, listen, fellas, the sharks here are so hungry right now. Look at them. Spencer, Moromo, Alvi, Mutapchich, Hackard, Rama, are you kidding? Jay Silva. You know, like, if the list goes on, right? And I'm just telling you, these are just the guys on the next show. And I'm telling you, look at how they talk now, even, the guys. They don't talk like, you know, they're scared. They don't talk. They talk like they're very confident. That's why you see guys like Mukai Moromo training at TriStar, and that's why you see guys like Graham Spencer training where he's training, because he knows the level of fight he's going to face on February 15th.
No, I definitely agree. Now, Mark, you're a guy that tends to smile a lot, but I think you might have brought in a guy that maybe smiles more than you do.
I've been with my wife for 26 years. She's made me smile for 26 years. She's not just beautiful, but she's funny, like funny, funny, funny. And it's nonstop entertainment with her. And she's my business partner, too, which most people fail to realize sometimes. But any sensible choice we've ever made in 13 years with the MFC has all been her, right? Because if it was left to me and my son, we'd probably be dead broke on the street right now.
Well, you got to have that, you know, they say, Mark, that behind every great man is an even greater woman.
Yeah, that's a given, man, here. That's a hands-down winner right there, because there's no question. Me and my son would have put everything on red, and we would have lost, and we would be out on the street right now if it wasn't for her.
Well, let's all give Manon a shout-out and thank her for keeping the MFC afloat for 35 events. And hopefully we see another 135 events out of the MFC.
Hey, listen, you know what's funny? She did one interview in 13 years, just one time, right? And it was funny. It was a written interview. She wouldn't even do one, like, on a radio or anything. And it was so funny because her knowledge of MMA, not MMA, but MFC, is so great that she knows the ins and outs of this business better than anybody in the game. I mean anybody in the game. So I think it's kind of funny, but I'm going to do something, you know, she's going to laugh, but everybody go to her Twitter. It's Manoh Pavlich, and she's going to laugh because she tweets probably once every, you know, 2 weeks, you know, so while the rest of us are so crazy, like we're tweeting 50 times a day, she's like, I can't think of anything I want to say to people, you know, so it's amazing. She's got over 1,000 Twitter followers, and she tweets, you know, once every 2 weeks, you know, so.
It's definitely, I mean, you guys, hands down, Mark, are the best social media promotion in the game. What did you see in that avenue that clicked the light in your head and you were like, this is it, and then you just kicked the door down on it? Tao, Twitter,
you know, because
YouTube,
this is the difference.
Facebook.
This is the difference, though. The difference is that we know that the UFC is the best brand of MMA on the planet. We know that, right? Then there's going to be a fight, and it's going to be a really good fight, but it's going to be between me and Bellator. I'm going to only say their name that one time, and I'm going to say it for this reason. The only reason why they're better than me now, they're not better than me the whole standpoint of how I do everything. The only reason why they're better than me is because they have a hedge fund company that runs their company, right? And basically, they do more shows than I do. That's the only thing that makes them better. When you talk about how we package it, how we present it, social media-wise, we're tenfold what they are. There's no question. Our viewership is larger in Canada with us being on TSN and then being on the smallest network in Canada, and me being on the largest, of course. So there's a big significant difference with viewership. I believe my viewership on Access TV is larger than theirs on whatever network they're on, right? So those are things that we're going to work out. But see, there's one thing that people don't realize about my family. We love to fight. We really love to fight. Like, there's people that love to go to the movies. There's people that love to go to church. People that love to walk down the street holding hands. My family likes to fight. Right? So when people pick a fight with us, we're always going to fight back with them, right? So when promoters shoot their mouth up at our family, we're going to sign your fighters. When you shoot your mouth at us and talk crap about my family, by my family meaning the Maximum Fighting Championship and my inner family, we're going to take something from you. That's how we're going to teach you a lesson. And then you're going to learn how to shut your pie hole when talking about the Maximum Fighting Championship.
Dude, I feel like you're giving Vince McMahon a run for his money right now, Mark.
Who's Vince McMahon? The wrestling guy?
Yeah.
Because you know what the difference is? He's a great entrepreneur, but he's fake and I'm real, right? That's the difference, right? What I'm saying, this is not made up. This is not a script. This is who I am, man. You know that chip on my shoulder? That's for real, you know? I need two people to carry it around. You know what I mean? That's how big the chip on my shoulder is, right? We're going to get our respect in this business one way or another, man. And if we have to punch people in the mouth to get the respect, we'll do so, right? But we're going to get our respect, and it's going to start this year, right? We're the largest show in this country by about 500 million miles. We're probably number 3 in the world right now, and we're not going to stop. The momentum is going to keep going and going and going.
Hey, Mark, Skippy here, brother. You know, you've been coming on this show for 2 years, and you've always spoke so honest, so I got to thank you for that, and I love to see what you guys have done. I've said it before, you guys have produced some of the greatest fighters in the world, champion gold. MFC means something other like some other organizations that have 12, 15 title holders a year. You know, I got to ask you, I know you've got this really great card, and 2013 is just starting. How far are you building cards right now? Because you guys are probably, from what I've seen, where a lot of people are trying to get to. So I'm just curious, how difficult is it to just do one card? Are you guys building four?
I'm four ahead right now. So I know when my next four shows are. So that's kind of where I'm at, you know, and I'm kind of strategizing and plotting and planning. And someone asked me the other day, they said, you know, who's the matchmaker for your organization? I started laughing, you know, I said, matchmaker? I said, anybody with the last name Pavlich is the matchmaker for this organization. Who's going to match make better than us in the world? You think Joe Silva is a better matchmaker than me and my son? Are you kidding, man? We've been in this game 13 years, man. We don't have one-tenth of the roster of the guys he has. You don't think we can match make better than – is that a joke? Like, let's be realistic and honest about things here, guys, right? With what we have and what he has, do the comparisons, man. It's not even close. right? So people go, who's your matchmaker? We're the matchmakers, man. And don't forget, we've made a lot of mistakes along the way, too. Hey, I'm not claiming that we haven't. You know, we did a lot of ones where I went and looked at the fight and went, oh, my God, I can't believe we did that, right? But we've learned from our mistakes. And over the years, it's like, you know, this family, our family is like, well, people go, well, who takes care of that? Who takes care of that? Someone with the last name Pavlich.
Well, now, you talking about you guys doing the matchmaking, like, let's say, you know, obviously 135 is a very seriously stacked division all across the world. Now, your son picks out a fighter. He's like, bam, man, we got to get this kid on the card. Look what he's doing. And then you look at him and say, well, I got room, but I think we should go with this guy. Now, how does that work when the two of you guys might not be able to agree on who to put on which card?
But, you know, I have Scott Zur too, right? So Scott Zur's been with me for 13 years. So Scott is usually the voice of reason when it comes down to that, right? He'll kind of like give his points about why we should do. Hey, you know what's funny? We were doing the Jay Silva scenario, right? Who's Jay Silva going to fight? We were going to put Terry Martin in that situation, or this Leo Bursar kid who's 7-2. But don't forget, the Maximum Fighting Championship plays Moneyball MMA. And what I mean by Moneyball MMA, if you've watched the movie Moneyball, you'll understand what I mean by that. The way MFC looks at things is we look at a guy like Terry Martin, who's kind of on a slide, and we look at a guy like Leo, who's won X amount of his last fights, and how he's won those fights. So we kind of give points for knockouts, what round they were knocked out, he knocked people out in, how many times he's gone to decision. So that's how we kind of gauge how to pick fighters. So, you know, we took Leo over Terry Martin for that sole purpose. Now, he's not a big name guy, but he's got 7 knockouts in a row. So against Jay Silva, guess what? We got magic coming February 15th, right? And that's what people want to see now. People don't care anymore about whose name is what name and that name is that name, because that's not always been giving us the best fights. The best fights now are basically how we're matching them up. And it's such a style different way. And you know what fight actually scares me on this card? It's Mukai Maromo, Graham Spencer, for that sole purpose. Because I'm scared that Mukai is going to sit there all night and go, wait a second, maybe I'm not going to hit him because he's going to take me down and vice versa, right? But like I said, people have to not underestimate Graham with stand-up, and people can't underestimate Mukai with ground anymore, because both of them are in great places learning both others' faults.
No, I agree. The fight that to me is the most exciting is the Hacker-Rama fight, because what Hacker's done since making the jump to heavyweight is really jaw-dropping, in my opinion. And the fact that I have a feeling that him and Rama are going to just sit there and box for 15 minutes until one of them lands the cherry punch, you know, I'm drooling at the mouth at it.
But you know what, though? Both of them have phenomenal boxing. And I don't mean phenomenal boxing just for you know, MMA. I mean, like, they have, like, really crisp boxing, which is very rare in this sport in general. Like, I mean really good boxing. And Hackert's hand speed is off the charts. And the thing about Rama is that he's just naturally so good at what he does. So for him, it's easy. It's like when he was interviewed earlier, he said, you know, I do things very effortlessly, you know? He does. It's weird. It's like it looks like he's being nonchalant as he's choking you out. He looks like he's very nonchalant as he's knocking you out. It's weird. It's like he just looks like it's not a big deal for him to be doing this. And Hackert, hand speed wise, there's only one person I think in the heavyweight division in the world had. You know, faster hand speed, and that was Junior DeSantos. That's the only person I see in the world that has faster hand speed in heavyweight than Mike Hackert.
Well, that's a good comparison right there, because, you know, I mean, I think you're right with Hackert. We'll probably have the hand speed advantage over Rama, but I'm just not sure if he can handle that power that Rama's going to bring at him.
I don't know. Like I said, that's the beauty behind it. It's like, that's why I want everybody to tune in early, man. Okay, either get to the show early, get watch it live on Access TV early, because, you know, and no one's even paying attention. I feel horrible for these guys. Kurt Southern, 11-3, versus David Castillo, right, who's Jeremy Horn's protege. The kid's got a sick record, and him and Southern are opening the show off, and I'm like, oh, no one's even talking about them.
No, hey, look, I brought it up earlier. I have watched, I was a big fan, still am, of David. I have seen his fights over the last year or so, his title fight with Gunderson, his title fight with Justin Buchholz. You know, the kid is a beast, and I think versus Southerns is going to be a great, great way to kick off the show.
Me too. And you know, and then we have the return of Luke Harris fighting Jason Zengraf. Same as Zengraf, he's a quieter guy from Montana, but at the same time as, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's relentless, right? So we'll see, like, Luke Harris coming back off one of his first losses, you know, in a long time. And you know, that's, I'm always curious to see a guy coming off. And Luke is not taking some easy fight. He's fighting Jason Zengraf. That's the thing about being in the MFC, right? That show, listen, I tell all these guys, there's more character losing in the MFC than winning in any other show in the country. That's what I believe, you know? It's like you were talking earlier about belts too, right? Every organization lets anybody that fights for a belt. Look at us over 13 years, man. People were screaming at us, yelling at us, why aren't you guys doing title fights? Why aren't you guys doing title fights? We weren't doing title fights because no one at that time deserved to be fighting for the title, right? That's what this organization's about. There's a lot of pride involved here. So people have to earn that shot at the title. That's what it actually means to us. That's why you see people crying when they put the MFC belt around their waist. You don't see that in any other show in this country. You see that in the Maximum Fighting Championship because they know the importance and what it means to our family by you wearing that actual belt. That means a lot to us.
You know, it's funny because one of my all-time favorite fighters, Bam Bam Healy, he was able to adorn one of those beautiful straps from your company.
You can't. What can you say about him, man? I mean, he's this. To me, when I talk about him, it's almost emotional because if I even told you the story, I don't know if I ever did, about his fight when he came here and what he did was absolutely astonishing. Most MMA fighters aren't even on the same mental planet as Pat Healy. They're not even. They shouldn't even be calling themselves MMA fighters because he is the epitome of an MMA fighter. When he came to fight for the MFC, he got turned away at the border and everything got screwed up. He met the plane, something with the plane. He jumps on a Greyhound, goes 22 hours on a Greyhound bus, gets out of the Greyhound bus, kicks the crap out of some guy, I won't even mention his name, right? Puts it on him, wins the belt, gets back in the bus, drives back with the belt. Who does that? Who does that? Nobody. Pat Healy did that. Our families never forgot that. We're gigantic fans of his. We couldn't wish him anything else but success in his life. And we're blessed that we even had him as a champion.
Well, I agree. And I got to ask you, and this is just something I've been wanting to ask you the last few times, and I just haven't got a chance to. You're very, very, very big on social media, tout, Twitter, Facebooks, all those different things. My question is, how important is it for you as when you look at fighters with good records and if they're social media savvy or not?
That's becoming a big issue with me, too. You're 100% right. That's almost more important to me than if you're a Division I wrestler. So if I hear a guy go, I'm a Division I wrestler, I'm not a Division I wrestler, but I have 2,500 people following me on Twitter, that means more to me. So that's kind of how that's going. I want exciting fighters, but I it's very important that guys start getting more social media savvy and promoting the organization. It's very important.
And remember, people, it's hashtag the MFC, not hashtag MFC anymore. Mark has
that's
changed
right.
That.
I changed it, man. I like it the other. I wanted it the other way, but I was being outdrawn by a porn company, so I said, "Nah, I'll just keep call it the MFC." That's a true story. True story. It was like I was going there, and I was like, "Why is this all this porn stuff?" And it's because it's some porn company that they kind of thought they'd take my hashtag. So I'm not going to fight with them. I just want to do my fighting in the business world, and I want to do my fighting with the MFC. So we changed it to the MFC.
Now, Mark, I have been openly stating that the day you premiere the bantamweight division in the MFC will be my first live-attended MFC event. Can I expect that in 2013?
You'll see it in May. It'll be 1,000% in May.
1,000%? I love it. All right. I'm going to get to shake your hand in May then.
It's just time that we're just going to progressively get better at everything. Listen, there's so many things still that we look at and we're critical of ourselves. You don't even have to tell us. We already know what we have to fix. You know, how come this year I hired a new production company? You know, how come this year I hired a new ring announcer? How come this year, you know, I changed graphic designers, right? How come this year, this is just after 13 years, you think, oh, I'm just going to ride into the sunset, man. We're not riding in NTs. No one's singing yet, you know. There's no sunset. There's no nothing. We're just warming up.
I like it. Now, with, you know, you opening up a new weight class in 2013, how prepared are you for the influx of fighters that want to showcase their skills from around the world on your cards?
I got to be careful, right? I can't pull a Bellator, because Bellator signs guys for 3 years, and then the guy fights once a year, and he's sitting on the bench for the rest of the year, right? So that's my biggest fear, man. My big fear is that, right? So everybody thinks, well, why isn't he starting a 135 division? Why isn't he going to the States? Because I don't want, first and foremost, right, I don't want some guy signing with the MSC at 135 and he only fights once a year. You know what I mean? So that's something I won't do to fighters, right? So contrary to the criticism that we get for not, that's the reasoning behind it, right? Because I don't want guys sitting on the bench. I want guys being active, making money.
Well, that's a good point. Very good point. And that's why you're so successful at what you do.
Yeah, I just it's easy to do that, too. It's easy to say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Listen, you don't think I want to come to the United States? You don't think I want to come, guys? I want to come so bad to the States, it's not even funny. We've been offered deals all over the place, and none of them have even been remotely close to put on a proper MFC show. That's the reason why I haven't gone. Right, I'm not going to go broke just because I want to go to the UFC and say, hey, look, I went to the United States, right? I'm not doing it. But don't forget, we're live on television, so we're everywhere now. We're on the largest network in Canada, TSN, and we're on a great network with Access TV. They've been nothing but unbelievable partners with us. We've been the longest-running show on their network, and we're just going to keep getting better and better because we're not complacent.
Now, Mark, you're somebody that has had success in life a very long time. What is it that keeps you on top of your game?
It's easy, right? I've always, my favorite thing to do is impress my wife, right? So that's what it is. I know it sounds crazy, and I wish I could give you something more philosophizing or whatever, but the reason why I am the way I am is because, first of all, I was in the game when no one else was in the game, and everybody laughed at me. So when people were laughing at me, I never forgot that. When I married my wife, I saw in her eyes when I did something great, the response that she gave me, I was addicted to that response. So those are two combinations of those two things is what I think about on a constant basis. I never want to let her down. I never want to let my family down. And that's, you know, my son, my daughter, that's my main drive, nothing else, you know. That's kind of what it is.
Now, Mark, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a guy that I would love to see in the welterweight division on MFC, and that's Brandon Thatch.
Thatch is awesome, man. I love Thatch. The problem is he's signed with another show in Canada that doesn't do very many shows. He's sitting, once again, sitting on the bench, and, you know, I don't know what he's doing, and I think he's phenomenal. I think he's going to be – I honestly believe that he's going to be the next big thing, in the 170 division. I know what level he's at. I know how good he is. But you have to think, too, there's other promoters where he lives that he fights for, and they wanted to sign him with us, but they wanted to keep him in the local thing there, and I said no. So there was a time I had to sign Thatch, and these are local promoters that, you know, slash manage him kind of thing, and they wanted them to fight on their local promotion that hasn't done a show since we even talked, you know. So
yeah.
I mean, this is the stuff you deal with in this business. There's a lot of dirty stuff that goes on, and dirty by meaning not illegal dirty, but illegal, like not, you know, it's just not. The fighter probably doesn't even know that he was offered a fight in MFC. His manager slash promoter probably didn't tell him, you know. So those are the type of things. And I hope he's listening tonight, because Thatch, I tried to sign you, you know.
Dude, the kid is a beast. I mean, I've seen every one of his fights. I haven't got to see any of them live, but I've watched every fight I can find tape on this guy, and I totally agree with you 1,000%. Now, there's another guy I want to ask you about, because I think it'd be really interesting to see him fight on an MFC card, and that's Steve Bosse.
I like Bosse, but he's inconsistent and he doesn't fight enough, right? So that's what I agree with you. I think Bosse is a really cool anomaly. I think that he's a guy that's got a lot of power, really fun to watch. The problem, once again, though, with him is like, when was the last time he fought? You know? Take a look at that.
2011, I think.
Exactly, right? So what's he doing? What happened? You know, no fights, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's what's going on. Same with Thatch. I mean, I would move mountains to put Thatch in MSC, you know, because I know he, when he goes to training camp at TriStar, I hear reports about who he spars with down there and how well he does with certain people. You know, I've always kept an eye on the guy, right? And this is probably the organization where he should be, right? So, like I said, hey, Thatch, break your contract. Come to the Maximum Fighting Championship. Sky's the limit, brother.
Please do it, Brett. Listen to this man.
When did you see him on TV last?
I can't be a one-man crew here.
You've never seen Thatch on TV. You don't see him on TV. You don't see him. That's the problem, because people don't see him, right? So they don't know. Me and you know about him because we know what he can do. The problem is the rest of the world doesn't know who he is. And the problem with the kid is that's the downfall, because he's an awesome fighter. So I'm telling you, Thatch, figure a way to come to the MFC. Let's get it done, man.
Hey, I got another fight for you, Mark, I want you to take into consideration. Nathan Coy versus a guy out of Washington named Dave Corshane. I'll send you some tape on him.
Yeah, let me see. Hey, listen, guys, I've always taken, like I said, the reason why we've been successful, because we've always took advice. We've always, you know, when you guys say stuff like that and send us, I'm always going to check it, right? We're always going to watch tape on guys. So that's a big thing. So, you know, anything that you guys can, you know, that you see out there, I know you're not going to pitch wood to us. It's going to be some schlep, right? It's going to be somebody that's good.
Yeah, and can I see Daniel Swain, Anthony Berchak, MFC 37?
You know what the problem is? I don't know if that's the matchup, though. I like Berchak a lot. I mean, I think this kid's going to be a mega superstar, and I love the grit of Swain. I love that grit, you know? The problem is I don't know if that's the right matchup to have those two fighting each other. I think it's to have them both fight on the card, but I'm not totally convinced that they should be fighting each other. When you start dissecting the style matchup between the two of them, it could be a boring fight, right? So I'm looking to have the 80-20 rule. I want to make sure that 80% of the time that fight could be really exciting. And I think there's a lot of other matchups for Swain as well as Berchak that would be much better for both of them. And then we'll see how they look on the card together, and then, bam, we'll see if they'll fight each other eventually.
Well,
I like
Mark,
it.
We're about to wrap up. Hold on one second. Let me make some commercial. Let me play some sponsors real quick. Don't go nowhere. Carl, are you ready?
Carl.
I'm here still. I don't know where Carl is.
I guess.
We don't either. Apparently, Carl's not anywhere.
Well, I was going to pay some commercial bills before we go live off air. I'll do it real quick. I want to give a big shout-out to Ink Tank Tattoo, Global MMA Consulting, Big T's Nightclub, Combat Sports Insurance, 24 and LV, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Tank Grimes, No Pain, Just Glory, Vision Smoke Shop, Intimidation Clothing, Brawlbase.com, Revolver MMA, Draco Impact Armor, and Get Clinched at Clinch Custom Mouth Guards.
Mark, about that Swain Berchak fight, I definitely see where the possibility of that turning into a grappling match is a high likelihood, because both those guys are, you know, come from a very high level grappling background, and I definitely could see the concerns you would have with that fight.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I said, I got to be careful with that. I mean, the days of the Jimmos and McKee are dead in the MFC, right? And I got so much flack about both those guys over the years about, you know, how boring they were, and they weren't losing in the MFC, and they kept winning, and they kept being more boring and more boring. And it's like, I'm not going down that road no more, man. I really don't match make the MFC anymore. The fans do, right? So, you know, I listen to what the fans say, and, you know, they basically, you know, most fans, they tell the truth, you know.
Well, I definitely want to bring up a fight that a fighter told us about on a show, and I'd like to see the rematch. Lepaki, you mentioned Corshane, but the rematch versus Coy, you know, as a fan, he told me about the first fight, and it was one of the greatest stories I've ever heard a fighter tell me. And I would love to see the progression now of those two, especially with, you know, Corshane being on a real big tear, Coy's making big waves, you know, to see those guys get a chance to rematch as a fan, that's a fight I'd like to see.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, there's so many different scenarios coming up in the next little while, you know, that, you know, and show-wise too as well. So, like I said, you're going to see a lot of exciting things in 2013 with the Maximum Fighting Championship. And, you know, I thank everybody for their support, and, you know, just keep standing behind us, man. We're not going to stop.
No, we got MFC 36, February 15th. MFC 37, May 10th. MFC 38, October 4th. This is at least the three events I know about, and obviously Mark already knows about the next two after that. So all you barbarians that want to know where some quality fights are going on, follow at Mark Pavlich, you dipsticks. And tweet his wife, Manon.
Yeah, Manon, M-A-N-O-N, Pavlich. You got to get on her Twitter, man. Force her to tweet more. She's I'm trying to get her out of her shell.
Well, Mark, we so thank you. You know it's always a pleasure to have you. And it's funny because every year you make our highlights on the clip show. So I guarantee you made some highlights tonight again. And we look forward to watching you on Access TV and TSN2. We look forward. I love watching you tweet and your team around you. You know, I thank you for everything you've done. You've put on as a fan. You put on some of the best shows I've ever got to watch.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Mark, can I ask you a question that I just kind of want to know about?
Sure.
What was the draw from hockey to MMA?
My family was involved in hockey, right? My father was a referee in the NHL for 30 years in the Hockey Hall of Fame. My uncle won 4 Stanley Cups. He was one of the founders of the hockey union for the whole NHL with Detroit Red Wings. And it's like, you know what's funny, though, man? I like hockey, but when I found MMA, I really, fellas, it's a struggle. And I mean a struggle for me to watch a hockey game.
Well, I mean, I just found that interesting that your familial background is so deep in hockey. And I never hear you talk about it, but, man, you have this passion for MMA that few people have.
Well, I caught the disease a long time ago, right? And I watch an MMA fight. I mean, I could watch even a bad MMA fight, and it's better than any hockey game I've ever seen. So that's how I look. I have the utmost respect for hockey. I have friends that play for the Oilers. I have friends that play in the NHL. You know, my family's involved in the NHL, you know, over so many years. And I think it's great, you know, but I think my version of the Pavlich crew, we're going to be on in the MMA business. That's going to be our niche in life. You know, we're going to be successful in that and continue on with that, right? And that's going to be our, I don't want to say legacy, but it's going to be our kind of statement, you know, in life.
That's great, man. Mark, we really appreciate you taking the time. And as I'm a huge sports follower of all sports, and every time I get to talk to you, I really appreciate the opportunity that you give us here at MMA Madhouse. And we look forward to every one of your events, and thank you for taking the time out to come and join us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. I just want to give just a quick plug to my boys over at Clench Mouth Guards, right, and Street Soldier, and my guys at Crystal Glass, who without them this would not even be possible. My boy Ken, my brother for another mother, Flamin' Fitness, Jobosity. I mean, all our great sponsors, After Dark, Smash, the best gloves in MMA. And don't forget, everybody, get your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca for this show coming up February 15th. I guarantee you won't be sorry.
Excellent. And when the Bantamweights debut, Mr. Pavlich, I will be shaking your hand at the Edmonton Center.
We'll see you on May 10th for that one, then.
You got it, man. Thank you again, Mark. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Bye-bye.
Yippee!
What a show, man. What a great show. What a great line of guests. You know, couldn't ask for anything more, you know.
I'm super happy, man.
Super happy.
Dude, I drank two rock stars during the show. I was having trouble keeping up with this guy, man.
He's the best. I'm, you know, I can't, you know, thank him enough. He's always a great guest. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Got anything else out there you want to give a shout out to, Carl? I appreciate all you do. I'm out, boys. Eagle,
and I just want to say, everybody get over to Vision Smoke Shop. Get your Jeep in, you dirty savages.
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.